Welcome, everyone. This is Deb Engel, and I want to say hello and just so glad that you're here for this next hour of discussion and learning as we talk about principles from A Course in Miracles, this time related to the topic of anger. Now, if you've been on some of these calls in the past or listened to the recordings, you know that we always choose just one topic that we can relate A Course in Miracles principles to. And the reason that I chose anger for tonight probably is pretty self-evident if you live in the U.S. I know there are a lot of listeners from other parts of the world as well, but in the U.S., going into the midterm elections next week, there's a lot of divisive information and conversation going on in the world. Plus, we're also going into the holidays, into a busy time of year, and that can create anger and stress and strife in our minds and in our lives and families. So it seemed like a good time to address this issue of anger and talk about what does A Course in Miracles have to say about it. As always, the Course has a very different take on anger as it does just about on everything in our lives. So we'll explore that tonight. The reason that in the subject line of the email that I sent you, it said, "Is anger ever justified?" And even as I was writing that, I thought, you know, it's funny, probably just that question alone may spark some anger for some people. I can totally understand if it did. If you felt your ego mind at all being triggered by that question, maybe thinking, well, what does she mean? Is it ever justified? Of course anger is justified. I would not be at all surprised if that was the reaction. So if you did feel any stirrings of that in you, then I totally get that, and we'll actually talk about that as we go into the evening as well. So we've got lots to talk about. We're going to talk about where anger comes from, what can we do when we start to get angry, and what does the Course say about it? Does it say if it's justified or not ever justified? We'll explore that and see, kind of go deep into its teachings and what it really instructs us to know and to do about the anger in our life, whether it's minor irritations or full-blown rage about what's going on around us. So I will be doing a visualization to start, as always. Then I'll be talking about those principles from the Course. And a little after the hour, we'll switch and do some Q&A. So I hope that you'll be thinking about some questions as we go along. I know that this is a big topic, and it's clearly something that all of us deal with every day. So I'm guessing that you may have some situations or some inquiries, some curiosity about this, and I hope that you'll come on the line later on and ask those questions or make some comments. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started with our visualization for tonight. Again, if you've been with us before, you know that these visualizations are just a few moments of stillness and quiet. All you have to do is sit back, listen to the guidance of my voice, and just go deeper inside. Really use this as a time of presence and relaxation for yourself. If you're here for the first time, I hope you enjoy this time of being able to tune into you even more and let go of anything that may have been on your mind, anything that could be a stress or is causing some busyness in your mind right now. The great thing about this is that with the recording of these sessions, you can go back and listen to the visualizations as many times as you want to, and I hope that you do that. They are great ways to start your day or end your day, or just take a little quick relaxation time in the middle of your day and really be reminded of these spiritual principles that we are all called to practice and to bring to our lives. Okay, well, with that, we'll go ahead and get started. So I invite you to just get comfortable wherever you're sitting. Feel yourself sinking into your seat. Kick off your shoes if you need to. Put a pillow behind your back, whatever you need to do to get comfortable. And then take in a big, big breath, filling up your lungs with air, and then letting it go with a big, big sigh. And don't be afraid to make some noise with that sigh. Take in another big breath, fill up those lungs, and then have a big whoosh. feel yourself literally expelling anything that you don't need in this moment, anything that's used and spent. And then take in another big, big breath of fresh air. And let it go. As you do that, know that you're giving your body the clues, the triggers, the sensation of relaxing, just automatically, knowing that it's okay to use these next few minutes for peace and quiet, and that you can tune more and more inside yourself, letting go of any external distractions, and just focusing on what's within you. As you do that, go ahead and see a beam of light. It could be a flame, a candle burning, a lantern, whatever it looks like inside you. Just see that in your torso, just above your navel, your solar plexus. See it as an ever-burning, everlasting light within you that is the glow and the essence and the light of who you are as a child of God, a child of the divine. Take a moment to really look at that light, to feel that light. Feel it not just within you, but know that it is you, that strength and purity, and that radiance of the light is the truth of who you are and who you came here to be. And as you give more attention to that light, just see it automatically burning brighter and becoming bigger until the glow, the circle of that light extends beyond your body. And see it just glowing and growing bigger and brighter until it fills up the room or whatever space you're in. And see it just expanding and extending simply because you are aware and you are bringing your intention and your attention to that light. And now as you see that light continue to spread far beyond you, beyond your home, beyond your property, beyond your neighborhood. Feel how good it feels simply to have all of that energy of light flowing through you and from you and out into the world where it can bless everyone that it touches. Now ask the Holy Spirit to use that light, to extend it even further, to take it wherever it's needed, to touch anyone who is feeling discouraged or alone or afraid or angry, any form of fear. Ask that your light be used for the highest good for anyone who needs it, with no exclusions and no exceptions, simply trusting that the Holy Spirit will take that light out into the world and use it wherever it is needed most. Just take a moment to continue to feel that energy flowing through you. And as it does, feel it lifting you up to your higher self, your highest good. Not because you have to prove anything, accomplish anything, simply by being that light that you are. You are the highest good and the highest expression that you came here to be. And let yourself truly feel how equalizing this light is, knowing that the Holy Spirit is taking it truly wherever it needs to go, and there is no judgment about how it's being used, where it's being used, or who it touches. Your job is simply to stand in that light that you are and be the conduit for healing. Now, in this space, bring to mind anything that you are most grateful for in this moment. Go ahead and express your thankfulness silently. Know that you can come back to this place, to this energy, to this experience at any moment, because the light that you are is always right there. Always shining and eternally connected to its divine source. Now go ahead and take in a big, big breath. Let it out with a sigh. Take in another big breath. Let it fill up your lungs. And exhale. And one more time, a big breath in. And let go. Now start to become aware of your body again, aware of your space and your surroundings. Wiggle your fingers and toes just a bit. And then slowly and gently, and as you're ready, come back and open your eyes. And I'll give you just a couple of moments to come back. Sometimes it's very hard to come back after those visualizations. We always do those in the Course in Miracles classes that I teach here locally, and afterwards sometimes it takes a minute or two before we all fully come back to the space, and we kind of joke that we really could just sit there in that visualization for the entire evening and get everything we need from the experience. So that's why I hope that you do use these. Beyond just listening to the recording once, make them part of your daily spiritual practice. Okay, so, well, let's talk about what is this anger that goes through our mind? Where does it come from and what do we do with it? And most of all, what does A Course in Miracles say about it that could help us? Because I'm guessing, you know, all of us experience anger. It is a universal emotion. And when the Course talks about anger, it doesn't ever say, don't feel anger. It's never saying, don't be human, don't have emotions. But the Course is very clear in saying that anger is not our friend. And that in truth, it does actually say that anger is never justified. And we'll talk about why, because that can seem so out of just the sense of reality. How can anger not be justified in a world where there are so many things to be angry about, whether it's, you know, little nuisance things that happen around the house, your spouse doesn't fill up the dishwasher, doesn't do the chores, you know, your kids leave dirty clothes on the floor. It could be something as minor as that, or it could be something as major as a really deep sense of betrayal or hurt or a feeling of life being out of control or not having your say in the world around you that you would like to have. All of those are coming from the ego mind. And this is the thing that we come back to in all of these teleclasses, because anytime that we talk about A Course in Miracles, it's always so important to go back to the basics of its teaching that we truly have two minds. You know, we so often just talk about what's going through our mind. We don't really distinguish between our ego mind and our higher mind. But in truth, they are very, very different things. The Course tells us that the ego mind is the part of us that has forgotten who we are, that thinks that we're separate from God and separate from one another and from ourselves. And so it is always in a place of guilt, isolation, loneliness, and at its most extreme, self-loathing. It feels like I'm not enough, I don't matter, I don't deserve anything, and maybe I just should go and hide under a rock because I don't think anybody should even be paying any attention to me. That's the ego mind. The higher mind, on the other hand, is the part of us that remembers that we are one with God. It's the part that we tap into in those visualizations. And that's why spiritual practice, anything that puts us back in touch with that memory of who and what we are as children of God, is so important. Doing that practice daily, over and over and over again, helps to counteract all of the fear-based messages that we're getting. Plus, it really strengthens our core remembrance of who we are as children of God. It's just like, I know I've said this before, but it truly is just like if we were wanting to learn to play the piano. You know, if we sat down for a couple of minutes a day and practiced some scales, we'd probably make some progress. But it's really the consistent application of practice, of sitting down for an hour or 2 hours, even a day, and learning something new, that's how we change. That's how we learn and we grow. And that's what the Course is really inviting us to do through all of its teachings, is not just to spend a couple of days kind of thinking about, wouldn't it be nice to be happier or to have inner peace, but to truly take time every single day, take time throughout the day to get back in touch with our higher minds, remember who and what we are as holy children of God, and practice coming from a whole different perspective in our lives. Because the Course is teaching us to see through spiritual eyes, not through our ego eyes. And that's the perfect foundation for this whole discussion about anger, because anger always, always comes from the ego mind. If you think about it, if the divine, if God, this world is really love, and we are part of that, that's what we are, and our higher mind is connected to that, would love really have anything to be angry about? No. You know, love is love. You can't really get mad at love because that's just joy, happiness, purity, innocence, truth. It's everything that we want. So all of anger is always coming from the ego mind, which means that it's in this closed, infinite loop, this cycle, this negative spin cycle of projecting anything that it feels bad about out onto the world and onto somebody else and saying, you know, maybe if I make you feel bad for a little bit by being angry at you and blaming you, then I'm going to feel a little bit better. Of course, that doesn't work. Maybe it works for a few seconds or a couple of minutes, but it doesn't work for long. And when we're coming from that ego mind, that's the experience that we're going to have. That's where the anger comes from, and that's why it keeps coming back to us. So the first thing that we really need to know in this discussion about anger is that that's the source of it. It's not just out there in the world, you know, things to be angry at or people to be angry at. What we're really angry at is what's going on in our own ego mind. That's always the source. Now, that may seem like bad news because, yikes, if it's in me and it's not out there in the world, then what do I do about that? But it's also the good news, because there is something very simple and something very real and very practical that you can do, and that is to switch over to that higher mind. And that's what we'll talk about doing a little bit more. So, but let's talk about what's going on in your ego mind. Not because you want to dwell there, but just because the course spends a lot of time talking about the ego mind and what's going on in it, just so that we can understand from kind of a psychotherapy, a spiritual psychotherapy standpoint, as the course says, of what is happening between our ears, in our own minds. In that ego mind, there's, there are all sorts of things happening, but they're all coming from fear. And one of the best lines in the course about this is one of the lessons where it says, I am never upset for the reason I think I am. It's one of the early lessons. In the middle of the course, there are 365 lessons in a workbook, so one for every day of the year. And one of the very early ones is, I am never upset for the reason I think. The reason this particular lesson is so key to understanding anger is because it makes it very apparent that we bring the meaning to everything in our lives. You know, if I were to meet somebody for the first time, didn't know anything about them, had no baggage, no history, no past with them, and they said something kind of rude to me, I probably wouldn't get as angry. I might still be a little irritated, or my ego mind would be, but I probably wouldn't be as upset as if it were somebody that I knew, you know, maybe a family member who had been pushing my buttons for years since I was little. If they said something rude to me, it wouldn't be just that moment. It would be everything from the past. All of the years of my history with that person would come into play, and all of a sudden my ego would be triggered, and it would feel like they've never respected me. They've always been rude to me. I'm angry at them. Now, what's the difference there? Well, it comes back to that idea of I'm never upset for the reason I think. Because we're always assigning meaning to everything that shows up in our life, our ego minds are not really looking at what's right in front of us. Our ego minds are always looking at what's happened in the past in our minds, or what it thinks has happened to us, and bringing that to every situation and finding a reason to get upset over what's happened in the past and what the ego mind thinks about itself. I've joked, but actually I think it's a really good tip in the Course in Miracles classes here locally. I've said, you know, if somebody is saying something that upsets you, pretend that they're speaking in another language and you can't understand them. Because then it would take away all of the baggage and the assignment of meaning that you have to what they're saying. What they're saying is just words. These are just sounds we're making. But our egos are putting a whole lot of meaning on those sounds. So if you find yourself getting upset over those sounds, pretend that they're totally different sounds that have no meaning to you at all, and see how you react then. The lesson in that is that we get to choose how we react to everything. And certainly our ego is triggered constantly and is very reactive. But if we can take that understanding that I'm just bringing meaning from a hurt inside of me and projecting it onto that person, and it really doesn't have anything to do with them, that can help me switch over to my higher mind and see things differently. Okay, so just a very simple example. Let's say I get, well, my husband buys lots of tools. You know, he's a builder, he's a contractor. We have a whole garage full of tools and overflow. So let's say he buys another tool and my ego gets triggered because it thinks, well, he doesn't need another tool. We don't need to be spending money on tools. Actually, maybe my ego is really triggered because I bought a pair of shoes last week that maybe I didn't exactly need, and my ego is feeling guilty about that. But hallelujah, now my husband's bought a tool, and I can make him feel bad about that instead of me feeling bad about my shoes. It's one of those silly little things that we do, but I'm guessing everybody can relate to that, because the anger that we feel, the Course says, is nothing more than an attempt to make somebody else feel guilty. And that's the perfect example of it. So actually, let me read you this passage from the Course, because I think it is so, so profound. And when I first read this and really looked at it, it changed every experience that I've had with anger ever since. So let me walk through it with you, and then we'll go through and kind of dissect what it's saying. It says, whenever you are angry, you can be sure that you've formed a special relationship which the ego has, quote, blessed, for anger is the ego's blessing. Anger takes many forms, but it cannot long deceive those who will learn that love brings no guilt at all, and what brings guilt cannot be love and must be anger. And then this is the clincher to the whole thing. All anger is nothing more than an attempt to make someone feel guilty. And this attempt is the only basis the ego accepts for special relationship. So what's it saying there? Well, that line, all anger is nothing more than an attempt to make someone feel guilty. It's just like that example with the tool and the shoes. If I can make my husband feel guilty about what he's bought, then I get to feel less guilty about what I've bought. It doesn't really work, but it's sort of like a momentary Band-Aid. You know, makes the ego feel less guilty for the moment. So the ego is always engaged in this kind of game, except it doesn't see it as a game, of constantly scanning the landscape and thinking, who can I blame for something? Who can I be angry at so that I can feel less angry about myself? Okay? And that's the special relationship that the Course refers to, because when we're looking at anything or anybody outside ourselves to alleviate our unhappiness or to be responsible for our happiness, we're creating a special relationship with them. We are putting special attachments and expectations on that relationship, saying, it's your job to make me happy, and it's your job to make me feel less unhappy if that's the place that I'm in. So understanding that that's where that anger is coming from, I think, is so key. It's those two different things, and there are other elements to it that we'll go into here in a minute. But if you just remember, I'm never upset for the reason I think. And I'm always, if I'm angry, I'm always trying to make somebody else feel guilty. Those two things alone will completely change your experience of anger. It doesn't mean that you won't still get angry or irritated or enraged or furious or whatever, you know, any different place on the anger continuum will probably still happen for you, because we're human. We have ego minds. We're in bodies. We are in a stressful world. But we get to choose and change how we react to the world around us, and more importantly, how we see the person that we are. Okay? So another element of this that I think is so important that the Course talks about is that being angry is not really the issue. We are going to be angry. If we were never angry, we wouldn't really need to be here anymore, because we would have reached a stage of perfection, of complete forgiveness, of total acceptance. And the Course says that the fact that we're here in these bodies, that's what we're here to learn. Because as we accept ourselves, we accept others. As we heal ourselves, we heal others. As we experience peace in ourselves, we bring peace to others. And that's what we're here for. So there are going to be times of being angry. That's not really the issue. The issue is justifying our anger. This is where the ego really gets engaged and can dig its heels in the ground, you know, just kind of stake its claim on, I deserve to be angry. By God, I'm mad, and I'm going to stay mad because I deserve to be mad. That's understandable. You know, there are certainly situations in this world where I think all of us would say, yeah, that's a natural reaction to be angry and hurt. But again, the Course is teaching us something new about what that really means. What is the spiritual collateral damage that happens when we do that? What happens if I stake my claim on being angry? Say that's my territory. I get to have it. I get to be mad. It may make my ego feel a little bit better temporarily, but what's happening is that I am adamantly refusing to see myself as I truly am. I am committed in that moment to being an ego mind, fearful and afraid, rather than allowing myself to remember that I am the light and the holy child of God that I am. So this is just something that we all need to know and we need to just take a look at. I see people, and I'm including myself in that, who get lost in their anger. You know, we all have that sense of self-righteousness, that ego need to be right rather than to be happy. But we have to think about what energy we're contributing to this world when we do that, that it's harmful to us and it's harmful to the world. Now, here's a place where I think we need to really take a look at anger from this world that we live in. Are there times when anger can be helpful as an emotion? And I would say yes, you know, in the process of learning and moving to our higher selves and to more love, certainly it can be important on that path. You know, maybe there are times when we need anger so that we learn to stand up for ourselves. Maybe we need to use anger to set some boundaries. Maybe we need to use anger to cut through some confusion or get really clear about who we are and what we want in this life. So anger can be used in some positive ways, but again, if we try to justify it and hold on to it and make it our way of operating in this world, we'll lose sight of the truth of who we are. Use anger to move you closer to who you are as your high self, not further away. And if you spend a lot of time justifying your anger, your ego is really just using that as a distraction and a tool to keep you from remembering your higher self. Okay, so get angry if you need to, but then also move through that. And again, we'll take a look here in a couple of minutes at some ways to do that. The other part of that is that not only does the anger hurt you, but it really does contribute something to the world that is exactly what we don't want more of. Often what we get angry about is anger. You know, right now there's a lot of divisiveness, a lot of conflict in this world. It feels, and I know that I've described this before, but I grew up in a stable home. There wasn't a lot of bickering. But it feels to me what's going on in the world right now, and especially in our country, it's kind of like being a child in the home where parents are fighting all the time. And it's exhausting. It is so fatiguing because you either want to fly under the radar and just stay out of trouble, or you just want to scream and say, stop, stop, there is another better way. So here's where the anger can flare up so easily because we're angry about the anger. And the truth is, and we all really know this, but we don't necessarily remember to practice it, and that's okay, we're learning, is that we react to the anger with anger. And what happens when we do that? If we're, you know, this is where, again, the Course is so important for us to move forward, not just as individuals, but to move this world forward collectively. Our minds, our higher minds, are all connected. That connection that we have with God, with the Holy Spirit, with divine love, we not only have that connection, me to God, you to God, we're all part of that electrical network. You and I have that same connection as well. So if I'm spewing a lot of anger into the world, that's going into those electrical connections, and it's plugging them up, and it's keeping the lights off. If we really want a different world, we need to be sending our light into that electrical connection, into those conversations, into those connections, so that my joy or my peace or my light goes out there into the world and touches somebody with a kindness or a moment of peace so that they can think, oh, maybe there's just a moment of remembering who and what they are as a holy child of God, and their light gets flipped back on. That's where the visualization that we did tonight wasn't just a feel-good thing. This is something that we can practice to truly bring a new energy into this world. And you'll notice that part of that visualization was seeing your light and love extended into the world, but then asking the Holy Spirit to take it and use it wherever it needed to be used. That meant that you didn't have to make the decisions on who was receiving it. You didn't have to have a bigger picture of who might be most blessed by your light. And you certainly didn't get to or have to make any judgment calls on, okay, this person gets this light, but this person doesn't because I'm angry at them. Notice that there were no exclusions. Everybody was inside that circle. And that's the energy that we truly need to bring to this world that anger will stunt and get in the way of. Any form of fear will do that, but anger in particular, because it's so loud, it's so noisy, it draws so much attention to itself, it completely drowns out that quiet, soft, gentle voice of the high self. And it's the reason why angry conversations can just get ramped up and ramped up and ramped up so quickly. So each one of us, you know, the fact that you're on this call says to me that you are wanting to bring a different kind of energy to your life, to your family, to your loved ones and friends, but you probably also want to bring a different energy to the world, and this is where and how we do it. This is the revolution that the Course truly is in asking us to move from our ego self to our higher self and bring that to the world instead. Okay? So how do we do that? I just want to give you a few quick ideas and then we'll open it up for some Q&A here. There's one other reading that I want to read to you, and I'll send these out when I send out the recording as well. This is just kind of a summary of what we were just talking about, but I want to be sure to read it actually in the ego's words. It says, we said before that the ego attempts to maintain and increase guilt, but in such a way that you don't recognize what it would do to you. For it's the ego's fundamental doctrine that what you do to others, you've escaped. So the ego thinks, well, you know, if I make my husband feel bad about something, then I don't have to feel bad about it anymore. The ego wishes no one well. Yet its survival depends on your belief that you're exempt from its evil intentions. So again, somebody else takes the blame, takes the hit, I get off scot-free. It counsels, therefore, that if you're host to it, it will enable you to direct its anger outward, thus protecting you. So literally, this is the insane belief of the ego. It thinks that anger is self-protection. Anger is self-protection in the ego's mind. That one statement, I think, explains a lot of what's going on in the world right now. And it also means that in understanding it, in seeing it for what it is, we get to bring a different energy to it. Again, instead of reacting to anger from anger, we get to come from a different place. So here's what the Course advises us to do. To, first of all, see through the eyes of our spiritual mind, our higher mind, and through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. So just as we did in the visualization, ask the Holy Spirit. If you feel yourself starting to get angry or irritated, that's the moment when you ask for your fear-based thoughts to be healed. You stop yourself and you ask the Holy Spirit to send energy and healing and light through you to join with the light that you are and to extend that out into the world, especially toward the people that you're feeling angry at. Now, your ego will jump up and down and scream and shout and throw a fit about that, and that's okay because that's what our egos do, but truly, truly, you know, this is all about having the life that we want and the world that we want. This is how things will change. So as soon as you start to feel triggered, take that deep breath, ask for your fear-based thoughts to be healed, invoke the Holy Spirit, ask for love to be sent to the very person who is making you mad at that moment, remembering that it's not the person out there, it is inside you. Okay? Also, act for something, not against it. You know, for instance, if you're angry at politicians, then organize and do something, you know, have a voice, take action, but do it from light and love rather than anger and fear. It's so important to be aware of what mind we're using because that will completely change the energy that we bring to it and the experience that we have and the healing that's possible from it. So if you do start to get angry, go back to the basics. Stop, take a deep breath. And this is a great question to ask yourself in that moment as well. ask yourself, do I want to trade my peace of mind for that? That's a really big question. Because, of course, this is all about getting to a place where we're so much in our higher mind that we're experiencing peace on a consistent level. All of a sudden, the ego gets triggered by something, and you start to feel yourself going to that angry place. It's kind of like, you know, being on vacation, and then, you know, somebody interrupts you with a cell phone call. It's kind of like, do I want to take that call? Do I want to interrupt this piece for that? And you get to say, no, I really don't. Again, it doesn't mean that you don't take action, that you don't speak up, that you don't engage in life. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that you do it from your higher mind and from a place of peace and understanding what's going on rather than the reactivity of the ego. And another thing is just keep track of what irritates you or really makes you furious, and then either handle it or ask for it to be healed. You know, for instance, if you're expecting someone to read your mind about what you want, I used to do this all the time. I'm sure I still do, my ego mind does it sometimes still, but I really used to do this a lot. I would just expect other people to know what I wanted, to read my mind. And if they didn't do what I thought they should do to make me happy, I got angry. Of course, I never told them or asked for what I wanted. I just expected them to know, and that was my ego feeling alone and not important, hoping that somebody would notice it and do whatever it was that it wanted, but it didn't happen. And so then my ego would use that as an excuse to get angry. So much of this is just becoming aware of what's going on in that ego mind of ours, because our ego minds are very tenacious and they can come up with lots of tricks. So we want to pay attention and then truly ask, oh, is this the mind that I want to be thinking with? One more thing, and then we'll open it up for questions and discussion. And this is another passage from the Course that I just love. It's from Lesson 93. And this kind of wraps up the whole package about anger and about what to do if you feel yourself moving into anger. It says, if a situation arises that seems to be disturbing, quickly dispel the illusion of fear by repeating these thoughts again, and I'll say what the thoughts are in a moment. Should you be tempted to become angry with someone, tell him silently, light and joy and peace abide in you. Your sinlessness is guaranteed by God. So let me go through that just real quickly again, because that's so big. If a situation arises that seems to be disturbing or that triggers your ego, quickly dispel the illusion of fear by repeating these thoughts. Should you be tempted to become angry with someone, tell him silently, just in your mind, send that person these thoughts. Light and joy and peace abide in you. Your sinlessness is guaranteed by God. And what does it mean by sinlessness? It means that you, every one of us, is whole and complete as a child of God. There is no sin. We can make the mistake of forgetting that we are one with God. We can make the mistake of believing that there is separation from God. But that's the only error. So, and we all make that error. So that truly is the only thing that stands in the way of us and peace. And when we can say to the person who we think is triggering us, light and joy and peace abide in you, all of a sudden we remember who we are, and we give them that opportunity to remember who they are too. Okay, so I've been talking a lot here, and I want to stop talking and, you know, let you ask some questions, make some comments. I want to hear what's on your mind. So I'm going to open this up so that, there we go. So if you'd like to come on the line with a question or a comment, just press *6 one time, and that'll bring you on. And we'll just wait a couple of minutes as always. Although I'm kind of guessing that one person may be willing to come on, because she often does, and I love it when she comes on and asks a question or makes a comment. Just let's take a couple more seconds here. Otherwise, I might actually call on her.
Hi, Deb. Hi. This is Billy Wade.
I knew you'd be there. You are always there, Billy. I love it. Always there for me.
Thank you.
Oh. So your mind? What do you think about all of this?
Well, when I first read your email, I thought about my reactions to anger. And if I'm angry with someone else, I always, and I'm to avoid a lengthy explanation, I'm just going to say that when I'm angry with someone else, I almost instantly feel helpless, defenseless, and trapped.
Mm.
And I eat my anger.
Mm.
When I start feeling helpless and defenseless and trapped, I go eat something. And it's usually not a little something. It's a whole bunch or a whole lot of something. Mm-hmm. It's more than just a few chips or a piece of chocolate.
Right.
And that's not good for my body. That's not good for my mind. And it certainly isn't good for my spirit.
Right.
And what I've tried to do a couple of times is tell myself that I'm angry because my expectations are not being met. Mm-hmm. That I expected something different than what I got, and that I don't like what I got.
Right.
And so that's my reaction to it. I feel angry about that. And sometimes I'm not angry with a person so much as I'm angry with a situation. And when that happens, I think, who am I supposed to be mad at?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have a target.
Right.
Just know that I'm angry.
Yes.
And
right.
Listening to you tonight, I realize that I always have choice and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that I decide what I'm going to do, how I'm going to handle something that isn't panning out the way I want it to.
Right. Perfect. Oh, my gosh. You've said so much. There are a lot of things to go back there and touch on. First of all, those words that you used about feeling helpless, defenseless, trapped, those are the perfect words because I'm guessing everybody can relate to that. And that's the amazing thing, the insane thing, truly, about the ego is that in trying to put the blame on someone else to alleviate its own suffering or its own unhappiness or misery, it actually makes itself feel more miserable, right? Because we really can't be angry at someone, we can't hurt someone, we can't blame someone without feeling bad about it. It's just just part of life. So the very act of being angry actually hurts us in all of those ways that you described. And I think that word trapped is especially important because it can be a lifelong trap. You know, some people just have a continuing anger problem. I think, well, really all of our egos do. Our egos all have anger problems. And so when we go there, when we make that choice, we really are choosing to trap ourselves. And not only ourselves, but we are imprisoning, as the Course says, whoever or whatever it is that we're mad at as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the, you know, just again, the awareness of that, that switching from your ego mind to your higher self literally sets you free, and it sets free the person that you have been angry at or the situation that you've been angry at. Because that's a really good point, too. Sometimes we don't have a particular person who's the target that we're shooting the arrow at. Sometimes it's just kind of this vague life situation, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket and I can't do anything about it, sort of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, as you say, especially distressing because then who do you blame? The ego is always looking for someone to blame. So everything that you have mentioned, including the eating, that was the other great point, you know, how much of emotional eating is really coming from the ego? Well, all of it. It's coming from anger or from hurt or fear or loneliness or isolation or, you know, some form of ego fear. Mm-hmm. And so there too, knowing that it's bad for your body and for your soul, for your spirit, it's like the ego knows these things and yet continues to do them when we're trapped in that ego cycle. That's why the only way out of it, truly the only way out of it, is to invoke the higher mind and the higher self and spirit. Otherwise, we are truly going to be trying to fix our ego minds with the same mind that created them, and we know that doesn't work.
Right.
We can't cure anger with more anger. So that's where, when you say the choice and the attitude, that truly is everything. Because when you make that different choice, and this is where the awareness is so important, you know, we'll come back to awareness again and again and again, mm-hmm. because your ability to just witness what's going on in you and saying, oh, look at that. Yep, I'm getting angry and I'm following those same patterns that my ego has done before. Then it's so important not to beat yourself up for that. Don't get angry about getting angry. You know, yeah, this is the time for amnesty for your ego and for yourself. This is the time to say, to just purely witness and say, oh, look at that. Yep, my ego's caught up in that anger and fear again. This is the perfect time to ask for the Holy Spirit to enter into the situation, to feel the love and light flowing through me, and to just sit in that for as long as I need to feel the energy in me shift, to really switch that, flip that switch from the ego mind to the higher mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say choice and attitude is everything, you are just absolutely right. And that's, yeah. That's the takeaway. And truly, it works for everything. That's the thing about the Course's teachings, too. It's not, you know, that this just works when you're mildly irritated, but not so much when you're really enraged about something. It works for everything, both ends of the spectrum and everything in between. It's always the same answer because the answer is always love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take that time to go to the love that you are because that is the true self-love. And that's where you'll have a whole different experience.
Okay.
So, yeah. So thank
that
you.
That helps a lot.
Great.
That helps a yeah. lot. And
thank
then
you.
I wanted to ask a question.
Yeah. Great.
I think the last reading was from lesson 83. Is that what you said?
Let me take a look here. 93. So 93.
93. Find that one. But the other passages and quotes that you read, when you send out the recording, send out the link for the recording, will you include the pages where those can be found?
Yeah, I will. Yep. I'll put in the chapter, number of the chapter and the section and the paragraph so that
okay.
you can find it. Yep, absolutely. I may not put in the page numbers just because sometimes people are reading it on their tablets or phones, or they may be reading a different edition.
That's true.
But yeah, but I'll put in everything that you need to find it within the chapter or within the workbook. So,
okay,
absolutely, great.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Deb. I really appreciate it. I look forward to it every month, and I stopped trying to take notes when I was on the phone. And so I don't do that anymore. I just wait until the link for the recording comes out, and I play it back, and then I take notes.
Oh, good idea.
I pause it, and I can think about it and wonder about it. And
that's so great.
Recordings are so helpful, so useful.
Good. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, that's so great because then you can just be fully present during the initial call itself. And do
yes.
the study after that. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, too. That's a great tip for everyone.
Okay.
Wonderful. So, well, thank you so much, Billy. You always add so much to these calls.
Well,
I appreciate
you.
I'm
glad to be able to participate.
Glad you're here. So, well, we've probably got time for one more question or comment. So if there's anyone else who would like to come on, just press star 6. And we'll give you just a minute to do that. Okay. Again, I should have the Jeopardy countdown music in my back pocket for this, but I'll just give you a few more seconds. If not, we'll start to wrap up here. But okay. Well, then what I'd like to leave you with, just a couple of things. And one is that it's actually another passage from the Course. And I want to read this one as well, and I'll include it in the email that goes out with the recording, too. It says, when you're willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence, you will have laid aside all anger and attack. Okay, so just that one sentence. When you're willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence, you will have laid aside all anger and attack. Now, that may seem sort of counterintuitive. It's like if I'm feeling responsible for the anger and attacks, and won't I feel worse about myself? And the truth is that when we understand what the Course is saying, absolutely not, because all we're taking responsibility for is the fact that we have an ego mind, just like everybody on the planet, and that we've bought into this false belief that we're separate from God, ourselves, and one another. That's the only error that we've made. And so if we can just take responsibility for the fact that, yep, I've got an ego mind like everybody else, and sometimes I forget that I'm a child of God, that in doing that, I lay aside all anger and attack because I realize I don't ever have to go there. I probably will, and that's okay, because every time that I do come from my ego and realize what I'm doing, it's an opportunity for more healing. It's a call for more love. But when I'm willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence, I will have laid aside all anger and all attack. So, and then the final thing that I want to leave you with is really going back to that initial visualization that we did tonight. This is something that's been coming up for me more and more and more here in the past few weeks. And that is three words, love it all. I don't know that those words are actually in the Course. I don't know that that's a direct quote from the Course. But that's really the teaching of the Course, love it all. Everybody, everything, because all of it and everyone is contributing to the healing of this world, either through the love that they're bringing to it or through the call for love that they're bringing to it. And wherever anybody is, that's exactly where they need to be. And where we get to be is in a greater state of joy, understanding, peace, and awareness, so that we can look at anything and anybody and say, I love it. I love it all. So I would encourage you in these next few days, and especially for those of you here in the U.S. who are going to the polls here in the next few days, if you haven't already done some early voting, take that peace into the polls with you. Instead of taking any anger or irritation into the polls, into your vote, take peace into it. Switch over to your higher mind and realize through spiritual eyes, just as the Holy Spirit looks on all of us and loves us all, we get to do that same thing. We get to allow the Holy Spirit to use the energy of light coming through us to bless everyone. And that means loving, loving it all. So I'm going to leave you with those words. I hope that's helpful for you, as always. I hope that you will let me know if you've got questions, comments, ideas for future classes, because I'd love to hear about those. And on that note, our next class will be December 6th. So that's the first Thursday in December, December 6th. And we'll be talking probably about the holidays in some form, since we'll be right in the middle of the holiday season. So put that on the calendar. If you know other people who would like to be part of these live calls or to get the recordings, just please share the registration link with them. I want to just keep growing this and growing it. I've had such a wonderful response and know that this means a lot to a lot of people. And it's my personal mission to bring as much of this energy to the world as possible. So I appreciate being co-collaborators with you in doing that. So with that, we will end for tonight. I thank you all. I love you all. And I wish you a great rest of the evening. Thank you and good night.